Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Johnny C. Taylor, Jr. How are you, John?
I'm doing really well, Robert. Thanks for having me with you today.
A pleasure. Johnny is the president and CEO of SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management, which is the world's largest association of human resource executives. It's celebrating, I believe, its 75th anniversary, founded in 1948, about 325,000 members. So you're going to learn everything about the connection between HR and CEOs. So start off, tell us about SHRM from your perspective as CEO.
So one of the things that that people often ask is SHRM. Like, what is it? First of all, the pronunciation is SHRM, so thank you. But the best way to think of us is we are two HR professionals. What the American Bar Association would be to lawyers, or the American Medical Association would be for physicians. We are the world's largest HR association, and we represent HR professionals all over the globe, actually in 165 countries.
When you look at the HR function, it's changed significantly. Years ago, it was really like benefits. Now it's become significantly more strategic. What would you say the HR role is today, and how would you see it changing over the next 5 years?
Wow. So we're in the middle of such a period of flux right now. So I love the conversations and the questions around the future of work and of the HR profession, therefore. But frankly, as you pointed out, in the past, HR was very much personnel-driven. Payroll, benefits, some legal compliance over time as we evolved to an environment of more laws and regulations regarding employment. But now it's a very, very different profession. And it's been driven by any number of issues, but mostly the demographic reality that in a knowledge-based economy, where particularly in America, we haven't had enough children to replenish the workforce. We're trying to find ways in a knowledge-based economy to be competitive. In fact, more than to survive, but to thrive. So HR is namely focused on three things now and in the foreseeable future. Number one is we have to be people experts. And it's a hard thing to do because people morph. They change. Every generation has its own unique characteristics and how they show up to work. Their relationship with work changes constantly. And therefore, more and more, leaders are looking for HR professionals and executives who actually understand how the human being works, how they think, how they process and engage or not. Secondly, we are increasingly having to be business executives. So it's not just enough to be a human expert, but you need to be a business expert. And I'm not just talking about the understanding the 10K or the 10Q or the this doc and that doc and reading a P&L, but actually understanding how the organization makes money or not. And it's the only way, frankly, that you can build a successful human capital strategy is you've got to build that properly before you can build a business strategy. And then finally, HR experts around culture. And, you know, in culture for a long time for CEOs like myself and the folks listening today, culture was a soft word. It wasn't exactly something that you focused on and you buy a few foosball machines and give some perks away and you had a good culture. Well, that's no longer the way employees and applicants are looking at employers. They want you to be able to articulate, what does it mean to really work here? How do things get done? And HR has to be a facilitator and a driver and a nurturer and, frankly, they have to keep us honest about what our cultures are. So in short, human experts, understanding how human beings operate and work. Secondly, business experts, more than just the cost of employees, but broadly understanding the business. And finally, keepers of culture, so cultural experts. That's the new expectation of the HR executive of the future.
I love that you're saying business experts. I used to, years ago, ASTD, American Society for Training and Development, I was president of the New York chapter, and my message was we need to be business people / trainers. And HR, I want to talk about the connection between CEOs and HR, because the CHROs really have the largest P&L of the entire organization, the people. So how should CEOs really look at HR and how they could maximize and work together and bring them to the table to build the culture, like you're saying, and to advance the business?
The best way to think about this is, you know, just as we think about financial capital, you've got to think about human capital in an organization. And so CEOs have always largely depended upon their CFOs. Those are, you have your lawyers, you have your marketers, you have all of that good stuff, but your CFO was the person who really helped guide you through building the organization and responding to the financial ups and downs of businesses. Well, now, especially in the knowledge-based economy, human capital is as important. In fact, as you pointed out, in most organizations, the single largest operating expense item are your wages and salaries. I mean, it's your people and the benefits and everything related to that. So CEOs now, and more, this is the true way that we think about it, is human capital and financial capital are the two ways to think about it. How does that translate into increasingly the new relationship between the CEO and HR? You can't see it as just the compliance people or just the back office administrative people. You've got to see this as a driver, a differentiator. We know in this knowledge-based economy, the CEOs who find the right people and retain those people, and to the extent you can make those people feel engaged at work, you will benefit. The company will benefit. And that's why it's now a strategic function and not just a back office function. And I mean, this is really new. Over the last 10, 15 years, we've seen this evolution. And then you had the pandemic, which thrust all of this onto the stage. HR is now a critical business function.
I want to ask, talking about the pandemic, you wrote this great book, fabulous, by the way, everyone should read it, called Reset. And that was in 2021, in the fall. Talk about what you think the whole future of work is, because we went into hybrid, everything's mixed up, but you're at the center of everything. Talk about some of your core ideas from Reset.
It started with, and I know all of us remember Friday the 13th, Friday, March 13th, 2020. That's when essentially everything started over. And we all believed, I as a CEO got a call from my CHRO saying, the President of the United States is on the screen saying all of us need to go home for 21 days. And that was the edict. And we all thought if we hunkered down for 21, no more than 30 days, we could essentially come back. And so I started writing a book. The working title of it was The Great Pause, because I thought, let me chronicle what's going to happen for these 21 or 30 days when I'm not on an airplane, I'm not getting up in the morning, taking my kids to school and rushing off to an office. Like, everything's going to pause for a minute. And I want to know what this was so I can talk about it with my grandchildren and my grandchildren, their grandchildren, et cetera. Well, as you know, about day 60, 90, 180, it became clear this was not going to be a pause. It was a reset moment. You pushed the button on the back of everything, and we were going to rethink how we operated going forward. One of the key areas is during that 6 month or so period, people, literally human beings, changed their idea of work, their relationship with work, where they were going to work, for whom they were going to work, for how long they were going to work. All of these questions, people had the opportunity to sit still in their homes, not everyone. We still had some people working in offices because we didn't shut the whole world down, but a significant number of employees were now sitting at home and rethinking their relationship with work. And that was the premise of Reset. Out of that, we came out saying employees don't want to work the way they used to. Period. That's the biggest takeaway. This idea that we were talking about pre-pandemic, you know, coming to the office every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, people were starting to, there was noise in even 2019 about flexibility. People were saying, I need to find more balance in my life. People were saying, I want more career development. They've abandoned the idea, for example, of job security. The idea is, yeah, one day I'll have a job, the next day I won't. We saw technology take an enhanced view of perspective in people's lives, because for the first time we knew that technology is what allowed us to continue to be productive even though we were now working from home. We all Zoomed in or Google met in, or I don't know whatever the verb would be for that. And that's when everything changed. So Reset was very much about capturing what was going to be different when we did eventually return to the workplace. And we're seeing that now with hybrid work. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But all of this work from home, work from office, work from anywhere, hybrid, and this tension that has come out of the post-pandemic environment, it's simply that people have decided that they're going to have a different way that they think about work, and CEOs are having to respond to it.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're speaking with Johnny Taylor, the head of SHRM. When we come back, we're going to hear more insights like we just heard, and specifically something like maybe what's a great idea about culture or about people that CEOs could actually use, from be it from your book or from your 325,000 members. About to take a commercial break, and then back with Johnny in a few.
Have you ever wondered how confectionaries are made, how spirits are distilled, or how scallops are harvested? Well, I'm Karen Antonini, the host of the Cultivated by Karen show. Each week, we'll take you around the world, from the shores of Nantucket to the hills of Donegal to the Douro Valley. Our guests share their inspiring journeys, recipes, tips, insights, and more. Find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeart, and Spotify. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and like. Follow us at Cultivated by Karen show on Instagram.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, Robert Reese back on the CEO show, and here's Johnny.
I knew that was coming, Robert. You couldn't resist it, right?
I had to. I haven't done that before. But here's Johnny is so important because you are the one person who could give advice about a best practice on culture that CEOs may not be knowing. Because CHROs are in the most powerful position now, and I believe the more we have this connection, CHROs and CEOs, the better we're going to have business, the economy, and society. So share any best practice that you've learned from everything you've done, from your research with Reset to having the 325,000 members.
I love this question because it is so simple for me, the obvious answer. One of the aha moments that we gained while writing the book Reset and asking employees across the globe, different industries, different countries, nationalities, etc., was talk to us about culture. Actually, the employees said to us, you need to start talking more about culture, the once formerly soft word. We want to talk about it. And what I realized was many of us CEOs were out trying to define the perfect culture. We went so far as to say this is a good culture and this is a bad culture. There's no such thing as a good or a bad culture. Now, save for illegal, immoral, unethical. Put those things off the table. Like that's, you know, table six. Got it. But other than that, what we thought a lot in sort of pre-2020 was we all had to be like some other company. We'd identify that company that has a great culture. If it were Apple, if it were Microsoft, if it were Amazon, whatever it was, there was an ideal culture that we should all aspire to emulate. And the fact of the matter is, that was wrong. Just as diverse as the people that we hire, so too should be our company's cultures. And again, save for the illegal and moral and ethical stuff, at the end of the day, what you need to do as a CEO, it is really paramount, it's at the top of the list, is get a lot of cultural clarity. So sitting down with your team, this concept of saying, who are we? What does it mean to work here? Not who do we aspire to be, not who are our competitors and how our employer brand matches up with theirs, but what does it mean to work here? And then be honest with people when you're recruiting them that this is who we are. And it may be the right place to work for you because you are technically good and you're culturally aligned with us, or it may not. And what we have found is that in this war for talent that we've experienced for the last 3 or 4 years, employers were busy courting prospects and applicants and telling people, this is who we are. Essentially, we'll be whatever you say you want us to be, and trying to find the perfect words to make themselves successful in the middle of this war for talent to attract talent. And it didn't work because it doesn't take someone very long who leaves a job to come into your operation and learn that what you told me it was going to be, it wasn't. And now they're pissed. And that's the biggest aha, is culture is going to be the key to you keeping the people. Even if you're lucky enough to attract them, you trick them into it. There's nothing worse than having someone come there and realize that what you sold is not what they experienced.
So I want to ask you a personal question. With everything you've been through, what is your biggest regret?
Wow. There's so many of them, right? And I think that's true of all leaders. But biggest, it would be that before I went into an HR role, my first Fortune 500 CHRO role, I'd never had any P&L or operating experience. It is really, really hard to get yourself in the mind of, no matter how smart you are, how talented you are, etc., to be a successful HR executive and advise other senior executives up to and including your CEO and even board members if you don't really have a full appreciation for how things actually work from an operating standpoint. I would have never said that in the past. I'm a lawyer by training and I spent a significant amount of time as a general counsel even. So it's hard because once you've rose through the ranks to general counsel level, you make a lot of money. And the idea that you've got to sort of go to a less important title to get your operating experience is something you typically aren't willing to do. But I lateraled over from a very senior legal executive role into a very senior HR role, but I never ever really had the experience of the P&L and or operations of a company. I was always doling out advice and counsel. And I don't think I was ready or as effective. It was suboptimal. I figured it out, but it was suboptimal. And it's only now, having been a CEO for 14 years in three different businesses actually, that I have a full appreciation for how much more effective I could have been had I had a stint in an operating role.
What a great point. For over a decade, I've been writing like 350 articles for Forbes that we need more women CEOs. And I originally set the goal for 50, and now finally we've passed it, but still it's only 10%. But the biggest reason why we don't is because the women have not been given a P&L responsibility. They're always put into other positions. So you talking about HR, your second goal of that they're business experts, it's exactly where we need to go. So right now we only have time for one more question. But you are the one guy in the world who could really answer this, which is the future of the workforce. You're at the heart of HR. What do you see if we look down 5-10 years, what the future of workforce will be like? How will it change?
So very quickly, first of all, demographically, America is browning and graying at once. We already know from the birth rates. The funny thing about it is, you know today what your workforce largely is going to look like 2 decades from now because they will grow up and come into the workforce. And the fact of the matter is, we're a majority minority country, so it is going to brown, and people are going to work for a lot longer period of time. We're going to live longer, and people want to work longer. We know from the Bureau of Labor Statistics data right now that people 55 and older will fill more than half of the jobs of the U.S. economy for the rest of this decade. And we know that the fastest growing segment of the U.S. workforce are people 75 and older. So we're going to be older, and therefore grayer, and we're going to be more brown or people of color by virtue of just the demographic reality. So that's number one. The second thing, and most important, or at least equally important to that major shift, is that we're going to have to be far more technology savvy, and therefore there's a huge capacity building and skills building requirement. We have no idea. Over times past, you could get a bachelor's degree, maybe a graduate degree, and it would do you good for 2, maybe 3 decades of the workforce, and then you'd retire. But given the amount of change that we are seeing, I mean, just think about what we've seen in generative AI overnight. The stuff that you studied in school 5 years ago is less relevant, significantly less relevant than it was, 10 years ago. You could actually last without upskilling too much during your 30-year or so career. That's done. So the future of work is very much going to be about constantly upskilling, reskilling, lifelong learning, and employers are going to have to invest in it. It's not going to be just your job, employee, to get yourself up to speed. We as CEOs are going to have to invest because that workforce will essentially get stale.
Any CEO who wants to learn more about the CHRO's mindset, what's the website they should go to for SHRM?
I love a softball. It's shrm.org. So shrm.org. All of us, in our own way, are HR professionals. If you hire people, fire people, train people, motivate, you have to better understand people. And we provide a ton of advice and counsel and the latest trending information so that you know what your people are thinking.
Well, Johnny, I want to tell you, just great having you on the CEO show.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Dan Houston. How are you, Dan?
Fantastic, Robert. Thank you for the invitation.
And Dan is the chairman, president, and chief executive officer of Principal Financial Group. So the organization is about 140 years old. Talk about what it is to you as CEO, considering you've been there since, I think, like 1984.
That's correct, 38 years. And I'm the 15th CEO over those 142 years. And, Robert, if there's any one thing that you have a deep sense of responsibility for, is continuing the culture, focusing on our customers, providing a great place for people to do their best work. But, you know, job one for us is making sure we're satisfying customer needs.
And talk about what your model is in business and your offerings and your types of customers.
We manage and we provide record-keeping services for over $1 trillion of assets under management. We do business in roughly 80 different countries around the world. We do that with about 18,500 associates. And what we're ultimately trying to do, Robert, is provide financial security for all. And to do that, we want to make sure our products and services are readily available. In large part, our group benefits and retirement business are provided at the worksite. We do institutional asset management across a whole range of asset classes, including equities, fixed income, real estate, alternatives. As I said, we do it in 80 different countries where we're providing retirement plan services, global asset management, and again, holding up our bargain to bring as many relevant financial services products and protection products around the world to serve the needs of our customers.
And I know on a personal level, financial literacy is something that's extremely important to you. Explain why and what you're trying to accomplish.
When I think about that question, Robert, I think about it in the context of not all of us have the same access growing up as kids to information and have parents and mentors and people who provide us with a roadmap. So we make the assumption that when they become a customer of ours, we need to have the full range, the full gamut of knowledge and expertise and guidance and education gets people on board. I was fortunate to be in a household where my grandparents and my parents emphasized frugality, and they still do. My father certainly does. And again, I think we just have to remind ourselves that if we can package that and communicate it and make it readily available to all of our customers, they'll have at least the opportunity to gain financial security in retirement.
And you really have a reputation, which is what drew us to you, about exceptional customer focus. How do you do it? And are there any unique practices that you have?
I think the unique practices, Robert, in large part have to do to say, who is the customer? And really understanding who that customer is, what are their needs, what are their expectations, and of course, exceeding those expectations. We do a lot of focus groups. We have a great deal of emphasis on better understanding and solving for the problems of a number of different constituents, small to medium-sized employers, large employers, individuals, people with large high net worth, people with lower net worth. It's our job to meet them of where they're at and provide them with a unique path that sets them on the path for financial security.
So let's focus now to leadership. When you became CEO in 2015, you did something really interesting with the board that I wish more CEOs, frankly, in the three boards I'm on, would do. Talk about what you did.
One of those practices, and it may seem quite obvious, but in my experience in talking to other CEOs, they don't necessarily do this. When our board convenes and we meet formally four times a year in person, and when there's not a pandemic, there's many other meetings throughout the year for special subjects. And of course, we have a annual strategic retreat where we really drill down on the next 3, 5, and 10 years. But I actually have a meeting in advance with just the board and myself. And what I'm trying to do for them, Robert, is to frame the next couple of days and help them understand, and like I'm sure many CEOs listening to this interview, there's a huge volume of material that we send out in advance. And sometimes it's hard to prioritize and understand what's really important, which is nice to know, and give them insights and perspective on my views on the presentations they're about to be part of over the course of the next 2 days. And then the postmortem to that, at the end of the session then, we go back and review what the agenda was in the beginning and talk about whether or not people got, the board members had the proper perspective. And that's what really contributes to a rich conversation about the stuff that really matters.
It's not only managing expectations, but it's bringing everyone on the same page and clarifying what's important.
Well, as you very well know, alignment with a board and alignment with a management team is critical. Matter of fact, that's where you see the wheels sort of fall off when you lack alignment in how you're delivering customer service, a lack of alignment on how you're allocating resources, whether it's capital, IT resources, human resources, all of those things require alignment. It starts in the boardroom, making sure that we're aligned with the strategy.
And one of the key things you also focus, I know, in your leadership is the concept of servant leadership.
And I'd like to think that I'm never going to be a finished product, that we all learn from each other. And I learned from these same video chats and becoming a better leader. But I think at the end of the day, I describe it as being a chameleon. It's my job to adjust to my leaders, to my management team, to my direct reports. And I need to be the guy that's willing to make that adjustments. I treat each one of my direct reports differently, but always fairly, because I feel like I'm the one that's adjusting to their style, to their needs, at their circumstances at that point in time.
How do you know what people's core essence is so you can treat them differently?
As simple as this is going to sound, it's listening. I think as CEOs, we're inclined to want to do a lot of the speaking and sort of giving the directives. And I think we have to be even better listeners than we are speakers, because they're saying things oftentimes with a filter. And you need to be able to move past those filters and gather that intel. And I think when you ask the right question and you really listen to what they're telling you and you process that instead of immediately trying to come up with a response, you're probably in a better position to be a resource to your direct reports. And frankly, that goes for all of your employees.
What are some of the great questions? Some people tell me, what's the biggest challenge you ever faced? How'd you overcome it? What have you learned from this? What is your greatest achievement? Are there any great questions that you use in hiring people, in managing them?
One question that I try to routinely use, I know a lot of people might make a statement as a CEO, you missed your number, you didn't reach your number, why didn't you hit your number? That's interesting, but frankly not very provocative. My view is I ask the question, what resources do you need in order to accomplish your key performance measures? And that's a far more constructive way about going about it. What are the resources? Is it talent? Is it IT resources? What is it that you need in order to hit your numbers as opposed to the reverse? And although that may sound subtle, Robert, I think that's exactly why it's important to think about what is the right question.
It really sounds like that's the difference between a pushy CEO and someone like you, a servant leadership, who is really trying to understand, how can I serve you?
I'd like to think that that's a true statement. I'd also tell you that here's the reality in life. All of us are human beings. People lose grandparents. They go through divorces. Their child's having a difficult time going through school. Someone's sick in the family. If you're deaf or you lack empathy and understanding what an executive might be going through because you never asked and you never really spent the time to get to know them, I think that's what creates a fracture, and it also is what starts creating sort of the tearing away of the bond of knowing what that executive might need in the way of additional support. And that's done on a personal basis. I've been on the record with this. I know in the current environment, we need to find alternative ways to get our work done. However, it should not somehow be the excuse not to have a personal relationship with your executives, to understand some of the challenges they might be facing personally, which frankly could be even much larger than the issues they're facing professionally.
Is there a website people could go to if they want to learn more about Principal?
www.principal.com.
Almost could have guessed that one. We're speaking with Dan Houston, and we're learning a lot about leadership and about framing conversations. Remember that. But we're about to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the topic that's hitting all of us, everyone wants to know about, inflation. Back in a few.
like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions 06604 is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions 06604. Call us at 203-522-88.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327. Or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling four-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these four-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese back on the CEO show with Dan Houston, who is the chairman, president, and CEO of the Principal Financial Group, about 140 years, a trillion assets under management, 18,500 employees. In driving the economy, what everyone wants to know right now, you're advising people. What could you tell us about inflation, how to manage, how to prepare for it, and where we're really at on the continuum of the world?
Well, I think where you start is the fact that we've got a large percentage of the leaders and managers in business today that have never really dealt with inflation. Principal has dealt with inflation for a long time because we do a lot of business in parts of the world where inflation is more concerning. And a lot of the products and services are actually recognized than inflation. So inflation-adjusted bonds, for example, in Latin America is a concept that we understand. Inflation's real, and although we may have seen a peak, I don't think, Robert, this goes away. And I think we all have to be then processing what are the things that we need to do to help our customers deal with inflation as it relates to the products and services that we provide to them.
So I just paid $6.09 for gas this morning when I went. Is that going to change, or is that just part of the inflation?
My guess is a year ago you may have been paying, it sounds like you're out east, and you may have been paying somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $4 or $3.75 a year ago. And I think it's going to be a long time before we get back to $3.75 or $4 out on the East Coast. There is a huge demand still. The demand side is very high. We know that there's a war going on in Ukraine, and there's an unfortunate set of circumstances that are driving inflation. But as you and I both know, it goes well beyond energy. It's in housing. It's in food production. At the present time, in the environment that we're in, the reality is there's still more demand than there is supply. If you have more demand than you do supply, you get inflation. And I think that's something we're going to live with for the foreseeable future.
You're advising people. You do have, like you said, that unique experience of managing through intense inflation from your global footprint. What advice do you have to the average American on what they should do, be it from an investment standpoint, and I know you can't get into the main specifics, or from a life standpoint?
I think a couple of things. This is where discipline is helpful, and recognizing there are always ways for us to reduce our cost, our consumption. And I think we need to be mindful about consumption. As it relates to assets, one of my favorite charts looks back to 1900. When you look back into equity markets in the U.S. back to the 1900s, and all you see is up and to the right over that period of time. And along the way, even if you think about World War I, World War II, if you think about the Great Depression, if you think about 08 and 09, you could think about 9/11. In the grand scheme of things, those are always blips in that chart up and to the right. So diversified portfolios to go across fixed income and equities, not getting overly conservative. But there are products out there today that are great hedges for inflation. Commercial real estate, residential real estate. These are assets that if invested in properly with the right sort of manager, and we're one of the top leaders in commercial real estate, you have two components, right? One is that rental component, the lease income that's coming from those portfolios, and we see that being contributed in the way of cash on a monthly basis, and then the appreciation of the underlying asset itself. So these hard assets that are available in the marketplace, they do give you that hedge on inflation. Likewise, you don't overindulge. So a balanced portfolio would still recognize, for example, you could use TIPS for a portion of your fixed income investments to recognize the Treasury does have inflation protection, securities available. And we all know that different attributes of domestic and international equities, some of those companies that we can invest in, some of those portfolios are designed to deal with companies that have a natural hedge for dealing with inflation. So again, this is where I think financial advisors provide their greatest value. One, to stay calm. Second, to educate and inform yourself. And three, to make sure you're continuing to be diversified into these portfolios.
Thank you for that PhD. And everyone, think about this. When Dan early on said financial literacy is critical, there's your start. Continue to learn. Now let's shift back to principle. You have this a very strong ESG strategy that tied into a mission. Talk about that strategy.
As a society, we should always be striving to push ourselves to always do better across environmental, social, and governance-related issues. We need to make sure that we're making progress moving forward. As I think about our own investment philosophies, and again, we do a lot of business in Europe, where ESG is maybe 10 years ahead of where we're at here in the U.S., they have that sort of mindset. We have to work together. We have to partner together. We don't demonize industries. We just need to show incremental improvement of reaching a point where sustainability is within reach for all of us. And I also think we need to be careful about there's cottage industries, and this is something I'm sure all the CEOs on this call understand, that they're standing up these boutiques and they're making judgments with their own algorithms, their own models, making judgment calls across this broad spectrum of issues. What our approach is, we tie it back to the mission of the company. We're going to do what we think is in the best interest of our customers, our employees, our investors. And if we do that consistently really well, we'll continue to score 100 out of 100 and not let the, you know, the winds of a boutique or a third party somehow shift our views. Lastly, what I would say, Robert, is we actually tie principles foundation. We tie it right to the mission of the company, financial security for all. And so to the extent that our social platform improves financial literacy, improves financial well-being, sets more people up for financial success to our businesses and to the foundation, the better off we'll be in society. As a matter of fact, we actually have a global financial security index that we're going to be out in 40 different countries. We'll have results here in September that is going to give us a baseline in understanding what is the global financial well-being today and be able to provide your audiences and all the audiences out there with insights on how we can improve the financial well-being across these 40 countries.
Let's go back to the fundamental, leadership. Is there any quote or any statement that really summarizes and codifies your leadership philosophy?
You know, there is, and people who know me would know that I say this. It's from Thomas Jefferson. On matters of style, go with the flow. On matters of principles, stand like a rock. So when you think about transformative leadership, to be innovative, to be intellectually curious, to communicate well, to engage, all of those are effectively stylistic. But you have to anchor against the core values of the company around ethical and being trusted and being a good partner to your customers.
And there you have it. Great having you on the CEO show, Dan.
It's been an honor and a privilege, and thank you for inviting me.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamil, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.